In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, not too long ago, Pope Benedict XVI canonized Blessed John Henry Cardinal Newman. I'd like to start off with a prayer, sort of a famous prayer that he wrote, and draw some truths from that, tie that in with today's readings and with Respect Life Sunday, and some statements from the Church. Now here's this prayer for Cardinal Newman. God has created me to do him some definite service. He has committed some work to me which he has not committed to another. I have my mission. I may never know it in this life, but I shall be told it in the next. I am a link and a chain, a bond of connection between persons. He has not created me for naught. I shall do good. I shall do his work. I shall be an angel of peace, a preacher of truth, my own place, while not intending it, if I do but keep his commandments. Therefore, I will trust him. Whatever I am, I can never be thrown away. If I'm in sickness, my sickness may serve him. In perplexity, my perplexity may serve him. If I am in sorrow, my sorrow may serve him. He does nothing in vain. He knows what he is about. He may take away my friends. He may throw me among strangers. He may make me feel desolate, make my spirit sink, hide my future from me. Still, he knows what he is about. This beautiful prayer, Blessed John Henry Cardinal Newman, conveys several truths. One, God created us. God is the creator. We are the creatures. And he says of this, if I want to do good in my life, if I want to spread peace, there's one thing we need to do, to keep his commandments. Whether I'm sick or whether I'm healthy, in that I serve God. Someone that's maybe in a nursing home, someone that's sort of like in a vegetative type state, in a mysterious way, that is serving God. Now, in today's gospel, the Lord tells this beautiful parable of the landowner who planted the vineyard and the tenant farmers. Who's the landowner? God. Who's the tenant farmers? We are. Who has rights? The landowner, right? And he comes, he's expecting fruit from the tenants. He expects us to produce good fruit in our life. Now, we celebrate today Respect Life Sunday. We celebrate life that is given to us by God, the landowner. Cardinal DiNardo, who's the head of the Bishop's Committee on Pro-Life Activities, he says, beginning October 2, 2011, Respect Life Sunday, Catholics across the nation will join together to witness to the inherent equality and transcendent value of every human being. We have the Respect Life Chain, which today will be from 2 to 3 o'clock. Right after go Route 20 over the bridge, on your right-hand side, right by Bluff Street, we'll gather at 2 o'clock. Now, this is what Cardinal DiNardo says, just a couple excerpts. By following Jesus' new commandment, not ours, Jesus, of unselfish love, our lives can be richly fulfilling and marked by joy and peace. In contrast, treating others as either means or obstacles to one's self-serving goals while never learning to love generously is an impoverished way to live. Viewing life as a zero-sum game in which advancing one's interests requires putting aside the needs of others can lead to a callous unconcern for anyone who is especially weak, defenseless, and in need of our help. The unborn child, the aging parent, whom some call a burden on our medical system, the allegedly excess embryo in the fertility clinic, the person with a disability, the cognitively impaired accident victim who needs assistance in receiving food and water to live. Each today is at risk of being dismissed as a life unworthy of life. Now we know as followers of Jesus Christ that life, human life, is sacred. And there's a beautiful article, I'm going to share a couple excerpts here, and we put it in all the bulletin, written by the servant of God, Father John Hardin. It's real simple, profound, right to the point. A couple points, he says, human life is sacred, on all the premises of revealed Christianity. The sanctity of human life is the foundation of Christian religion. And where does human life come from? The family. One man, one woman. Human life is sacred because each human being is personally willed by God in order to know, love, and serve Him. So we were willed by God. Human life is sacred because, unlike the rest of the visible world, we are free to choose to love and to serve God. We have the trees, we have the grass, we have animals, but they don't have a free will where they can make a will. God, I love you. I'm going to do it your way. Only we, human creatures, have this free will. So we're the only ones who really, truly can love God. Human life is sacred because God became man. God became man. And it didn't stop there. That raised our dignity, our human nature, because God became man. He assumed human flesh. And it didn't stop there. He actually shed His blood on the cross. So great is the worth, so great is His love for us. Human life is sacred because at baptism we receive a share in God's own life. In us dwells the Holy Trinity, and by His grace we are able to do what God in His goodness gives us the power to do in loving others with selfless charity. Now, human life, marriage, families, all these basic things as we know as followers of Christ, they're under extreme attack today, under extreme attack. I'm going to give a couple excerpts. This is of different letters written by bishops. This one's from Archbishop Timothy Dolan. He wrote this September 20th, this is about 2 weeks ago, to President Barack Obama. And he's writing in his capacity as the president of the U.S. Bishops' Conference. He says, "Dear Mr. President, I write with a growing sense of urgency about recent actions taken by your administration that both escalate the threat to marriage and imperil the religious freedom of those who promote and defend marriage. This past spring, the Justice Department announced that it would no longer defend the Defense of Marriage Act in court, a decision strongly opposed by Catholic bishops, the United States, and many others. Now the Justice Department has shifted from defending the Defense of Marriage Act, which is problem enough given the duty of the executive branch to enforce even laws it disfavors, but to actively attack the Defense of Marriage Act's constitutionality. My predecessor, Cardinal Francis George, and I have expressed to you in the past our strong disappointment about the direction your administration has been moving regarding the Defense of Marriage Act." I'll skip a couple paragraphs down. "Every child, Mr. President, has the right to be loved by a mother and father. The institution of marriage is built on this truth, which goes to the core of what the Catholic bishops of the United States and the millions of citizens who stand with us in this issue want for all children and for the common good of society. That is why it is particularly upsetting, Mr. President, when your administration, through the various court documents, pronouncements, and policies identified in the attached analysis, attributes to those who support the Defense of Marriage Act a motivation rooted in prejudice and bias. It is especially wrong and unfair to equate opposition to redefining marriage with either intentional or willfully ignorant racial discrimination, as your administration insists on doing." So essentially what he's saying, Mr. President, you're calling all of us bigots and racists because we recognize that marriage is between one man and one woman, instituted by God. So we, followers of Christ, all Christians, and the present and current administration's definition, we're bigots. Now, here's a couple more examples of attacks. Most of you are probably aware of this. Catholic Charities, I'm focused here just in Illinois. Catholic Charities in Illinois can no longer be involved with the adoption and foster care. It's a tragedy. Because the church says that a child has right to a father and mother. And the state says, no, you have to give those to same-sex couples and things like that. That's against the very core of our being. So because of this, something like 2,500 children now in Catholic Charities are in a very awkward, very different, catastrophic position, it says here. Chaplains in the military service. I have a classmate, Father Phil Klein, who's an Air Force chaplain over in Europe. We're both ordained the same year by Bishop Dorn. These chaplains are being put in very awkward situations, ones who love and follow our Lord Jesus Christ. A chaplain what? Guess he reads the Bible. He tries to follow the Bible. You're putting these chaplains in these positions where they have to witness same-sex marriages. And it's all attack on the family. It's attack on the sacredness of life. It's attack on God's right. He was the landowner. Now, here's a statement from the Auxiliary Bishop of Washington, Bishop Barry Neistat. And this is in regard to the Health and Human Services of what they've done recently. The new Health and Human Services mandate concerning availability of abortions and contraceptives and other such items. In implementing the new health care reform law, the Health and Human Services mandate issued a rule that would require private health care plans nationwide to cover contraception and sterilization and, quote, preventative services for women. The mandate includes abortifacients. Never before has the federal government required private health plans to include such coverage. So the little baby in the wombs, we know, doesn't have rights. Marriage is being attacked. Chaplains are those trying to do what the scriptures, what the followers of Christ would do. We're all under attack. And this is what it says. This is Father James Shaw, professor at Georgetown University, a really good Jesuit. Quote, almost everything now is in place for a full-scale legal persecution of the church, all based on what the government's calling human rights. Because we won't go along with that. We'll say, no, God instituted marriage. God, the child is sacred. No, same-sex unions are totally contrary to God's will. Almost everything is now in place for full-scale legal persecution of the church. And there's so many other doctrines and things going out there. It's just really demonic. And I don't use that word lightly. So when I read all this, I think, well, where does that leave us? The second reading today, St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, make your request known to God. St. Paul was there at the beginning when the church was being formed. It was under extreme attack by the state. And that's what's happening now. So St. Paul is saying to us today, yes, there's anxiety, things can dwell in your heart, but don't give in to that. Everything by prayer and petition, make requests known to God. My brothers and sisters, I urge you in your daily prayers, pray for the defense of marriage, for the defense of the child in the womb, the defense of life from the moment of conception till natural death. Pray. We have the Respect Life Chain today from 2 to 3. Not just pray, but the way that we vote. We vote pro-life. We're followers of Jesus Christ. When these subjects come up with different people that talk about abortion or same-sex unions, speak up what our faith teaches, what the scriptures say, what our Lord Jesus Christ would expect us to say. We only have a short time to serve the Lord here. He's the landowner. We're the tenants. God has given us life here just for a while to show, to prove to Him whether we love Him. And if we're faithful, if we stand in the truth, if we live the truth, if we preach the truth, then someday God will grant us that grace of coming into the kingdom of heaven. So let's get down on our knees and pray more fervently. This October is the month of the Holy Rosary. If you're not praying the Rosary, start praying it. Pray for the defense of life. Because the domino effects of everything like here set in place is horrible. There's a lady I met in Medjugorje a couple years ago. She's probably close to 90s now. But she grew up in Germany in the 1930s and 40s when Hitler came to power. She said, Father, everything that's happening in the United States, all the setting up these laws against the church, is the same thing that Hitler did. So let's pray, have no anxiety, trusting that if we do our part, God's grace will come. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.